Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, 12 December, 2023. Joel.
Well, that's why I had Yogi Jorgelson singing some Christmas. That's Norwegian humor there. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, we're in the paragraph 21 through 27, which is looking ahead and giving a foretaste of what it will be like in the millennial kingdom, the reign of Jesus Christ on earth following his second advent. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that as we witness the wheels coming off the wagon, we thank you that Jesus Christ controls history. As we witness the degeneracy and apostasy of client nation USA, we thank you that Jesus Christ controls history. As we witness the satanic attack on Israel and the Ukraine, we thank you that Jesus Christ controls history. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in your word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hal Lindsey, the halls of inclusion are beginning to exclude the Jews. The world finds excuses to hate Jews. People across the globe are blaming individual Jews for Israel's war on the greatest terrorist organization in the world, Hamas. Even Jews who do not support the invasion of Gaza are being blamed for it. On U.S. college campuses, Jewish students are threatened, harassed, and no longer feel safe. This function is exactly what the Nazis did in World War II. These people are Nazis in their thinking. No difference at all. Anti-Semitic Nazism. They ought to put a swastika on their shirt when they go around blaming the Jews for everything. And on U.S. college campuses, Jewish students are threatened, harassed, and no longer feel safe. The Bible says that this tendency toward Jew hatred will get worse in the end times. And we're seeing that right now. You may have heard about the Williamsburg, Virginia Street Festival canceling a Hanukkah-related menorah lighting ceremony. After receiving criticism for the snub, festival organizers told the press that they rejected the menorah lighting because they have a policy against any kind of religious ceremony. But, in an email to the rabbi who was supposed to have conducted the lighting, they said they would allow it if an Islamic group also took part. So obviously, they do not have a policy against any kind of religious ceremony. Apparently, religious expression is okay if it includes Muslims. An event organizer explained, "We are about peace and love." Excuse me. We don't want to make it seem we're choosing a side. Supporting the killing and bombing of thousands of men, women, and children. But they also told the rabbi he could go on with the ceremony if he held it beneath a banner calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. That's called taking a side. Do you see what they did? They identified the menorah with the IDF's military action in Gaza. They don't just blame Israel for what they call the killing and bombing, but all Jews. This one snub would be almost nothing if it were alone. But people all over the world are doing what they did, blaming the suffering of Palestinians on all Jews. In the same vein, a Maine town removed a Star of David because a local Arab American organization said it was offensive. The town later said it was done in order to comply with the First Amendment's Establishment Clause. But you would have to be deluded to think that allowing a Star of David in a Christmas display amounts to anything like government establishing a state religion. The original reason is obviously the real one. The Star of David stands for Jews. And the very existence of Jews offends some in the Arab American community. Well, members of the Ku Klux Klan also find the existence of Jews offensive. But we should not base community standards on anyone's bigotry. The Star of David threatens no one. It is an acknowledgement of a people and their history. Jesus, Joseph, and Mary were part of that people and history. So the Star of David is a perfectly appropriate symbol to put up as part of a Christmas display. Likewise, no one should see a menorah as a threat. People are using Israel's war with the terrorist organization Hamas as an excuse to hate Jews. Something as common in humans and as evil as the seven deadly sins. One wonders if the woke crowd will start banning the Star of David from their coexist bumper stickers. The Bible tells us to expect increasing levels of persecution for both Jews and Christians in the time leading up to the Lord's return. It's happening right now. And it's getting worse. Still, God's promises remain in effect. In Luke 21:33, Jesus Christ said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." Well, you all know that I think he's the best cardiologist in Las Vegas. He is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I see him periodically. And every time I see him, we start out. He brings up something that's going on in America of hatred toward Jews and hatred toward Christians. And I said, "Doc, you know enough of what the Bible says. We are the enemy. Christians who believe that Jesus Christ is the living and true God. Believers who believe that the Word of God is absolute truth, we're the enemy. And it's going to get worse, Doc. We are the enemy. Christians are the enemy. They hate Jews? Yes. Anti-Semitic? No difference than the Nazis in World War II. The liberals are Nazis. And they hate Christians. If you are believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the living and true God, the only Savior, the only hope for the world, who solved the world's problem of sin, the only Redeemer, and the absolute truth of the Scriptures, well, then you're the enemy. I'm the enemy. For many, many people in this country, I'm an enemy. I'm the enemy for many Christians who God and the Word of God doesn't mean a damn thing. For many, many Christians, Jesus Christ and the Word of God doesn't mean a damn thing to them. To assemble, to worship, to find out what the living and true God has to say to them, they don't even want to know. And that's where we are. We are a nation in apostasy and degeneracy. As goes the believer, so goes the client nation to God. And today, unfortunately, in this country, believers are the problem. But we've been studying that in Joel. And they turned around. In Joel's day, they repented. They changed their thinking. The unbelievers changed their thinking and placed their faith in Jesus Christ. The believers changed their thinking. They rebounded, got back into fellowship with God. They change their thinking from negative volition to positive volition. They change their thinking from arrogance to humility. And then they grew up under Joel and Isaiah. They took in doctrine. They were right on the verge of the fifth cycle of national discipline. In fact, Sennacherib had Jerusalem totally surrounded and was ready to destroy it. But because they repented, because there was a change of thinking, because they turned back to God and His Word, the pivot increased. Jesus Christ in one night killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night and delivered the southern kingdom from the fifth cycle of discipline. Well, the only hope for America is for the Christians to turn back to God and His Word. The only hope for America is for unbelievers to place their faith in Christ and for believers to turn back to God and His Word. That's the only hope that we have. And without that, well, legislation won't change anything. Who you elect as president won't make a difference at all. The problem is that the Christians need to turn back to God and His Word. There needs to be repentance in the United States of America. This is a spiritual problem. It needs a spiritual solution. And we got it right before us here. Great illustration. The southern kingdom Judah in Joel's day and Isaiah's day. Well, we are in the paragraph of Joel 2, verses 21 to 27, where there's a foretaste of what it's going to be like when the Lord Jesus Christ returns at the second advent and establishes His kingdom on earth. In Joel 2, 21, we see that the land is happy. In Joel 2, 22, we see that the animals are happy. In Joel 2:23, we see that the people are happy. All of this is the result of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has established His kingdom on planet Earth. Joel 2, verse 21 says, that's where the land is happy. Do not fear, O land. Rejoice and be happy. Because the Lord has done great things. In Joel 2:21, we see that the land will be blessed in the millennial kingdom because the Lord Jesus Christ has returned and established His kingdom on planet Earth. The Lord Jesus Christ will do great things by way of blessing and providing prosperity in the millennial kingdom. And this means the millennial kingdom will be a time of great economic prosperity. Isaiah 35, 1 through 7, Amos 9, 13 to 15, and of course our passage in Joel 2, 21 through 27. Then in Joel 2, 22, the animal kingdom will be blessed in the millennium. So in Joel 2, 22, the animals are happy. Do not fear, O animals of the field, because the pastures of the open land have turned green, because the trees have produced their fruit, the fig tree and the grapevine have given their wealth, abundant fruit. Now, by interpretation, this command is directed to the wild animals affected so adversely by the locust invasion and accompanying drought in Joel's day, Joel chapter 1, verse 20. By application, it also refers to the animals affected by the judgment of the tribulation period. In the millennial kingdom, the effects of that judgment in the tribulation will be completely reversed. The open pastures will again bring forth grass and vegetation. The trees and vines will again yield their fruit. The animal kingdom will benefit from the agricultural prosperity of the millennial kingdom. The great blessing and prosperity of the millennial kingdom is all a demonstration of the grace and the power of God. The whole world, including the animals and the land, are blessed because of who and what the Lord Jesus Christ is. The world will receive these great grace blessings because the Messiah, the Wonder Counselor, the Mighty Omnipotent God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, is now ruling planet Earth. In the Millennial Kingdom, the original curse placed upon creation, Genesis 3:17-19, will be completely removed. And that means there will be great agricultural and economic prosperity, and the animal kingdom will be totally changed. They will lose their venom, they will lose their ferocity, they will lose their fear. Isaiah 11:6-9, Isaiah 65:25. Now that brings us to verse 23. The people are happy in the millennial kingdom. In Joel 2:23, the Jews will be blessed and prospered in the millennium. It starts out and says, "Be glad then, ye children of Zion." We have the conjunction vav prefix to the construct of the noun bein, plus the noun tzion, plus the cal imperative of the verb gil. Now the vav is correctly translated and it introduces the third category to receive blessings in the millennium. The first was the land, the second was the animals, and the third, the people. And specifically, the people here refers to the Jewish remnant. That is, those Jews who, through the responding to the communication of the grace gospel, believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior and in the tribulation period, and then Jesus Christ delivered them at His second advent, and they enter into the millennial kingdom. This is the Jewish remnant entering into the millennial kingdom. And then we have the noun bein. B-E-N, bein. Bein is the Hebrew word for son. We have it in the plural, sons. And they are the sons of Zion. T-S-I-Y-Y-O-N. And this is not translated, it's transliterated Zion. So literally, this is the sons of Zion. And the sons of Zion refers to the Jewish remnant. Those Jews, remember, the tribulation begins with unbelievers only. All the believers are gone at the rapture. So the tribulation begins with all unbelievers, but the two witnesses and the 144,000 super evangelists wind up proclaiming the grace gospel, and there will be many Jews who place their faith in Jesus Christ. And they are the ones who are delivered here. The Jewish remnant in the millennial kingdom. And then we have Gil. G long I L, Gil. A couple of things on this verb. Gil means to rejoice, but it means far more than that. It means to run around with excitement. To rejoice, to run around with excitement. Two, it emphasizes overt manifestations of great happiness. Overt manifestations of great happiness. Three, Gil includes excitement, singing, dancing, all forms of ecstatics. In the millennial kingdom, there will be true ecstatics in the millennial kingdom because the King is present. And when the King is present, ruling planet Earth, that's when ecstatics are bona fide. So Gil includes excitement and singing and dancing and all forms of ecstatics. Point four, there will be great ecstatics in the millennial kingdom, appreciating the presence of the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords as the ruler of the world. There will be great ecstatics in the millennial kingdom, appreciating the presence of the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords as the ruler of planet Earth, ruler of the world, Jesus Christ, the ruler of the world. So the corrected translation says, and rejoice, O sons of Zion. And then it says, and rejoice in the Lord your God. This is the conjunction vav, prefix to the cal imperative of samak, plus the preposition bath, prefix to the tetragrammaton, plus the noun Elohim with the second person plural suffix. The vav is a connective vav, and you translate that and then we have the verb samak. So we had gil, that's ecstatic happiness, and now we have samak. S-A-M-A-C-H. So what's the difference between gil and samak? Gil is ecstatic happiness. Dancing, singing, all kinds of ecstatics. Samak is plus H, self-contained happiness in the soul. So one, samak means to rejoice, to be glad, to be happy, generally. To rejoice, to be glad, to be happy. But it's totally different. It's a lot different than gil, the ecstatic happiness. Point two, in our verse, it refers to inner happiness. Inner happiness, plus H. Self-contained happiness. Sharing the happiness of God. There's nothing like that, sharing the happiness of God. And everywhere I go, and sometimes I go to Total Wine, do a little bit of shopping, for some of you even. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus. And the fellow who works there, I've given him the gospel, and given him the gospel, and given him the gospel. And his name is Gerardo. If you ever go to the one out by Centennial, Gerardo, look him up. He is a great, great guy, and as soon as I walk in, no matter what he's doing, he drops everything and comes over, shakes my hand. How are you doing? And I always look at him and go, you know, I have one foot in heaven and the other one trying to get there, but God won't let me get there yet. He wants me to stay here and keep feeding his sheep. But I said, I'm looking forward to when he says, Pastor Olson, get your butt up here. Believe me. I'm not going to say, oh, I want to stay. I want to stay. I mean, I'm so impressed by our administration that I just want to say I'm having so much fun. And I am having lots of fun. But my fun and my fun is what I'm doing right now. And I can't tell you what kind of happiness that brings to me to be here and study the scriptures and watch God the Holy Spirit and in His teaching and illuminating ministry guide me into what exactly the scriptures are saying. And I want to be able to communicate to you the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures So I study and study and study, and there's great, great happiness in that. And stand up here and teach, and yeah, I'm supposed to have both knees are supposed to have been replaced about a year ago. And I went into the guy, he says, yeah, both of your knees have to be replaced. They're shot. He says, you're bow-legged. And, well, he asked my wife, is he bow-legged like he's been riding a horse? He goes, yes. Yeah, you need to have both of them replaced. And he took all the x-rays and MRIs and all those things. And he says, I said, well, how long will I be out? He said, well, we can't do them both at the same time. So we'll do one, you'll be out a few months. And then we'll do the other one, be out a few more months. I said, you sound like you're talking like a half a year. I said, will I die because I have pain in my knees? He goes, no, but you'll have pain. I said, well, pain is my friend. And pain is my friend. Yes, my knees are killing me right now. You see how fast I get down off of these stairs. You see me at communion, how fast I get back up the stairs. Yeah, pain. It's only pain. Big BFD. If you don't know what that is, come back and see me. So I just told him, I said, no, I'm not going to. The Lord asked Peter, do you love me, Peter? Yes, then feed my sheep. And I love the Lord, and I pray every day that He might give me the health and the strength to keep studying and teaching and feeding His sheep. And a little pain, big deal, just pain. Doesn't have anything to do with happiness. It's just pain. My knees, I don't wear short pants like my son does back here. He wears short pants because he's got cute knees. I don't wear short pants because I have ugly knees right now, and they're getting uglier by the minute. So we have a dress code for pastors and deacons, and that is wear a suit. That covers up a lot of flaws. See? So, 2, in our verse, Samach refers to inner happiness. 3, it is the inner happiness of believers who have virtue love brought to completion in their heart. Inner happiness. 4, therefore, they have personal love for God the Father. They have occupation with Jesus Christ. And the other side of the coin of occupation with Christ is plus H, self-contained happiness. They share the happiness of God. That's what Samach is. It's not ecstatics. It's having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. You have personal love for God the Father, occupation with Jesus Christ, and sharing the happiness of God. 5, the millennial kingdom is going to be a time of great happiness. Worldwide happiness in the millennial kingdom. Six, it is a 1,000-year party on planet Earth. A 1,000-year party on planet Earth. That's the millennial kingdom. 7, it is a 1,000-year wedding supper and celebration. A 1,000-year wedding supper and celebration, including the groom. The groom is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ. including his bride. That's the church. That's us. We're the bride, the royal family of God. Third, it includes his people, the sons of Zion, the Jewish remnant, those who were delivered, who believed in Christ in the tribulation and were delivered by Jesus Christ and brought into the millennium. That's his people, the sons of Zion. And four, all unbelievers who in the tribulation, who all Gentile unbelievers in the tribulation who believed in Jesus Christ and were delivered by him and taken into the millennial kingdom. So there's four parts. The groom, Jesus Christ, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, his bride, that's the church, the royal family of God, and then his people, the Jewish remnant, delivered in the tribulation, and they go in physical bodies, the sons of Zion, and all Gentile believers that are delivered by Jesus Christ at the second advent, they also go in their physical bodies. Eight. The great rejoicing and inner happiness is because of who and what the Lord is. The great rejoicing and inner happiness is because of who and what the Lord is, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. The preposition bath Bishavah means in, and then we have the tetragrammaton, YHWH, the tetragrammaton, Jehovah, the Lord, Jesus Christ, and then we have with the tetragrammaton, Elohim. Aleph, E-L-O-H, long I-M, Elohim, God. And notice, Elohim, God, and second person plural suffix, the Lord, Jehovah, your God. So the corrected translation, and receive, and rejoice, excuse me, and rejoice, O sons of Zion, and have inner happiness in the Lord your God. And rejoice, O sons of Zion, and have inner happiness in the Lord your God. One, the key to this millennial happiness is rejoicing. And rejoicing is knowing and appreciating the Lord your God. The key to this millennial happiness and rejoicing is knowing and appreciating the Lord your God. Two, it is a 1,000-year celebration of who and what the Lord Jesus Christ is. That is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, and he has a special title. A special title in the millennial kingdom, the teacher of righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ has a special title in the millennial kingdom, the teacher of righteousness. That's coming up in the rest of the verse. You would never know it. You would never know it. The next phrase in the King James says, "For he hath given you the former rain moderately." Do you see anything about teacher of righteousness there? No, all you see is the former rain moderately. I can't tell you how terrible a translation this is. It is terrible multiplied a terrible amount of time. And rejoice, O sons of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. Great inner happiness of soul. Well, there is so much in the Old Testament scriptures that are prophetic, that talk about the millennial kingdom and aspects of the millennial kingdom. So let's take a look at the passages that relate to this phrase in our verse, Joel 2:23a. First of all, turn over to Isaiah 9, verse 3. Isaiah 9, verse 3. Isaiah 9, verse 3, thou shalt multiply the nation, thou shalt increase their happiness. They will be happy in your presence, as with the happiness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the harvest. Then turn over to Isaiah 12. Isaiah 12, verse 3. Isaiah 12, 3. With happiness you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day, the millennial kingdom, you will say, give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known among the nations what He has done, and proclaim that His name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for He has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy. Sing for happiness, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. The Holy One of Israel, another title of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over to Isaiah 25. And I don't know which translation you have in your lap there. I have three of them up here. I have a Schofield King James Version, the NASV, and then I have a Ryrie Study Bible. Dr. Ryrie was a theology professor at Dallas Seminary when I was there, and I have the Ryrie Study Bible. It's the NIV version, but he has a lot of notes that many times are very helpful. And in Isaiah 25, he has at the beginning of the chapter the triumphs of the kingdom age, the millennial kingdom. Isaiah 25, verses 1 through 12. Well, start at Isaiah 25, verse 6. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples. Now, this is describing the millennial kingdom. And I was kidding about some of you on Sunday that when we get to the millennium, 1,000-year wedding celebration, there will be wine. Some of you kind of doubted. Well, here's the passage. The Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines, not the stuff Tim Vanslow drinks, but the finest of wines. This, the wine comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. On this mountain he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from the all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he delivered us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. This is the millennial passage, Isaiah 25. Turn over to Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60, again, if you look at the beginning of the chapter, the glory, at least if you, maybe you don't have a Ryrie Study Bible, says the glory of Israel in the millennial kingdom, Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 22. Well, look at verse 15. Although you have been forsaken and hated, boy, that is that reality where we are right now? Although you have been forsaken and hated, with no one traveling through, I will make you the everlasting pride and the joy of all generations. And then turn over to Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65, verse 18. And again, in the Ryrie Study Bible, it has the characteristics of the kingdom. Isaiah 65, verses 17 to 25. Verse 18. But be happy and rejoice forever in what I will create, for I will create Jerusalem to be a delight, and its people, the Jewish people, a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people, the Jewish people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. You know, it's not true now. The Jews are hated everywhere. Jews are hated all over the world. But in the millennial kingdom, the whole world will be blessed by association with the Jews and Israel. And people from all over the world will go to Jerusalem for Bible conferences. They'll go there for Bible conferences. And who is the teacher? Well, the teacher is the former reign moderately. King James Version. It's the teacher of righteousness. They will go to a Bible conference in Jerusalem because the teacher of righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ, is teaching. And they will come from all over the world to go to Jerusalem to hear the teaching of the God-breathed scriptures from the Lord Jesus Christ, the teacher of righteousness. So here we have again this Isaiah 65, 17 to 25 characteristics of the kingdom. And turn over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, verse 13. Then maidens will dance and be happy, young men and old as well. I will turn their mourning into gladness, happiness. I will give them comfort and joy instead of sorrow. I will satisfy the priests with abundance, and my people will be filled with my bounty, declares the Lord. Turn over to Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 3. Zephaniah chapter 3. Zephaniah 3, we have the prophecies of the future blessings. We have, first of all, future blessing for the Gentiles in chapter 3, 9 and 10. Then the future blessings of the Jews, chapter 3, verses 11 and 20. Verse 14, sing, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you, Jesus Christ. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, virtue love. He will rejoice over you with singing. And turn to Zechariah. This is Zephaniah. Turn to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 10. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 6. I will strengthen the house of Judah and save the house of Joseph. I will restore them because I have compassion on them. They will be as though I had not rejected them, for I am the Lord their God, and I will answer them. The Ephraimites will become like mighty men, and their hearts will be happy as with wine. Their children will see it and be joyful. Their hearts will rejoice in the Lord. So, many, many passages, prophetic passages in the Old Testament describing what we're studying right here in Joel 2, verse 23. So far we have, and rejoice, O sons of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, great inner happiness of soul. Now that brings us to one of the worst translations ever of all time, for he hath given you the former rain moderately. This is the conjunction key joined by a makef to the cal perfect of the verb nathan, plus the preposition lameth with the second person plural suffix, plus the direct object marker, eth, joined by a makef to the noun, morah, with the definite article, ha, plus the preposition, lameth, prefixed to the noun, tzedakah. We start out with the causal conjunction key. K long I key. It is a causal conjunction. It is correctly translated because key introduces the cause or the reason for all of the happiness in the millennial kingdom. So it introduces the cause or the reason for all of this happiness in the millennial kingdom. Key is joined by a makef to the verb nathan, N-A-T-H-A-N, nathan, And Nathan is the verb to give, third person singular subject, he. He refers to God the Father. God the Father has given. And what the Father has given is the cause of all the happiness and all the ecstatics in the millennium. And then we have the preposition lameth. El Shavah. And the preposition lameth plus the second person plural suffix you. And that means all believers in the millennial kingdom. For you. To you. For you. The lameth introduces the indirect object. The indirect object is the one in whose interest or benefit something is given. What the Father gives is for the interest and benefit of all believers in the millennial kingdom. And remember, the millennial kingdom begins with believers only. The tribulation begins with unbelievers only, because the rapture concludes the church age and all that's left on planet Earth are unbelievers. So the tribulation begins with unbelievers only. The millennial kingdom, all unbelievers are destroyed and removed from the earth at the second advent. The millennial kingdom begins with believers only. So what the Father gives is for the interest and the benefit of all believers in the millennial kingdom. And then we have the direct object marker. They never had this in English. I was an English major. Debbie was an English major. The best course I ever took at Washington State University was English grammar. And the prof, you could not prepare anyone any better for seminary, if he has the gift of pastor-teacher, than having that course on English grammar to understand the relationships of words. And there's all these men at Dallas Seminary when I was there, and they had all these questions, and their questions were they didn't know English grammar. They didn't know English. If they knew English grammar, they'd have been fine. But Hebrew and Greek to them was, well, the prof got tired of hearing when they asked a question, and the student would say, "Oh, it's all Greek to me." And the prof would say, "That was funny the first million times I heard it, but don't answer that way again." So in English, you probably wish we had direct object markers, but we didn't. In Hebrew, they got a direct object marker. So the direct object marker introduces, this is deep, the direct object. The what, or the one whom, the Father gives. And God the Father gives Hamora litzdaka. That's what he gets. Hamora litzdaka. I'll put that all up here exactly like it is in the Hebrew. Here's Hamora, there's the definite article. Ha, Mora, And then there's the preposition lameth. And that's the hirik. Oh, I'm putting it in Hebrew again. And then that's the preposition lameth. And then we have the noun tzedakah. And tzedakah, T-S, shavah, D-A-Q-A-H. That's the word righteousness. So we have ha, the, mora, teacher. Preposition to lama, according to the norms and standards of tzedakah, righteousness. The teacher according to righteousness. What a great title of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, and rejoice, O sons of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, great inner happiness of soul. What's the basis of this fantastic rejoicing and happiness? Because he, God the Father, has given to you the teacher according to righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given to you the teacher according to righteousness. Well, this is, I could be just on this title of the Lord Jesus Christ, I could stay on this for till New Year's. And maybe I will, you know, I don't know. But we'll stop here and pick it up next time and start taking a look at how fantastic, what a fantastic title, messianic title. This is a messianic title for the Lord Jesus Christ, the teacher according to righteousness. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.